Thank you, you may take your seat, Minister. And members, good morning, and welcome to this meeting of the Select Committee on Security and Justice. Welcome to the Deputy Minister. Welcome to the new Commissioner of Correctional Services and your entourage. We hope for the best in this particular meeting. The purpose of the meeting is actually the main to look at your APPs and the budget as the Department of Correctional Services. We have interacted with the Department of Justice. We had some highlights on your issues because you form integral part of that particular department. But we needed to have specific issues flagged with us on the part of Correctional Services. A branch of the Department of Justice, if I may call it that one. The approach that we're going to be taking is going to allow the Deputy Minister to do a political overview on the issues that he would have not needed to address with us. Then we will be guided by the new Commissioner as to who is going to be presenting on behalf of the Department on the APPs and the budget. Then we will allow members to interact with the presentation. Interacting means comments and questions. And as we pose questions, if a question is pertinent to a particular region of correctional services, then a regional commissioner or whoever you call him or her have a right to respond to that question. Because we take it that you have detailed information with regard to what is happening in the regions where you serve or you are deployed. So, Deputy Minister, over to you to give us your overview, and you will then be guided by you when we head over to the Commissioner and his entourage to lead us on the budget and the APPs. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. Honourable members, good morning. I am leading a delegation of the Department of Correctional Services this morning, Chairperson, to take the Select Committee through our annual performance plans. It is my understanding that they would have been in the earlier sitting, a briefing that was done by the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services, when the plans of the two departments were being introduced. And in that session, which unfortunately I was unable to be present, the minister would have done, you know, would have shared with you his broad sentiments about where our work is at in the department and what the priorities are for this financial year. Just before I commence with my remarks, Chairperson, I was going to request that you allow me to call on this delegation from the department to introduce themselves to the committee so that when you go into engagements with them, you must at least have a sense of who comes from which division or section of the department as you continue with your inquiry. National Commissioner.
Thank you, Chairperson. Minister, Martha Fraser, National Commissioner of Correctional Services.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honorable Committee members. I'm Mantla Mukabela, the CEO of Correctional Services.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm Sivashini Mosley. I'm the Regional Commissioner for the Food Safety and Northern Cape.
If you speak up loud into the record, it will assist us. We know you are not used to talking aloud due to your profession. But
may I repeat myself? My name is Sebastian Woodley. I'm the Regional Commissioner of the Free State and Northern Cape. Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Mnigela, the surname is Nile, serving as the Regional Commissioner of KwaZulu-Natal Region.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Nancy P. Waldenbella. I'm acting the Regional Commissioner at Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Parliament, good morning. My name is Lakim Chetwa. I am the Chief Security Officer in the Department of Correction Affairs. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the NCOP. My name is Deleki Detla, the Regional Commissioner for Western Cape in the Department of Correction Affairs.
Morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Berison Bandaba. I'm the Chief Director of Social Integration.
Morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister and National Commissioner. I am James Malverde. I'm at the National Head Office responsible for incarceration and corrections. Thank you.
Morning, Chairperson and the Honourable Members. My name is Vuyi Lamontlovu. I'm the Chief Director responsible for the remand detainees, as formerly known as the awaiting trial detainees.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm Linda Bond. I'm the Deputy Commissioner in Human Resources.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Nick Ligege. I'm the Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm Joseph Katenga, responsible for strategic management.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Takani Grace Mulatedi. I'm the Regional Commissioner of Housing.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Select Committee. My name is P. Gombambo. I'm the Acting Regional Commissioner for the Bobo, Mpumalanga and West. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I take it the regional commissioners are what you would call provincial commissioners in the SAPS. Is that the understanding that we have? So we are equally provincial commissioners, for a lack of better words, when you are called to be a regional commissioner. Deputy Minister, over to you.
Chair, thank you. In our plans, Chairperson, there is an area of our work which may not enjoy, you know, the pride of place in our plans the way it should, nonetheless, it is a very important area, and that is the Judicial Inspectorate of Correctional Services. It is part of the annual pipeline that we are going to be discussing. Now, with us, we have the inspecting judge of correctional services, Judge Van der Kastelen, and I thought we should not make the mistake of not introducing him. He's sitting over there.
Can you introduce yourself, Judge?
Yes, thank you for the welcome. I'm not quite sure whether I'm an observer or a participant, but we'll see later. But let me introduce you to the two people who will speak when it comes to the technicalities of JICS, and that is our CEO, Mr. Vic Mithal there, and next to him, the Chief of Inspections, Mr. Leonard D'Souza. So we need, as far as technical aspects are concerned, when you need us, they will be there. If you need some more general remarks, I'll be here. Otherwise, I'm just honored to be a guest and an observer. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Judge, for introducing your delegation. Honorable members, the plans that the department is presenting to yourselves today are in the broader scheme of things work that is going to be done within the Department of Correctional Services in the last year of the medium-term strategic framework priorities of 2014 to 2018-2019. By that I mean we are in the outer year of that MTSF period, and the annual performance plans that we are presenting, what is important in looking at them, of course, would be the targets that we set ourselves when we commenced in 2014. With respect to what we thought would be achievable in the intervening period. Secondly, to say that the plans that we are taking are, to the best of the management of the department, aligned to the National Development Plan objectives and goals. You will unavoidably, I would imagine, notice that in some areas of the plans, the alignment with the National Development Plan is not there. It's not visible, but it is assumed. It is assumed because to the zero year of the National Development Plan, which is 2030, there's going to be two medium-term strategic periods that are going to be planned for. And if by 2030 all the envisioned end state in the different areas of government would have been realized, it means that these plans that we are tabling should be part of work that was done to establish the targets working backwards within the remaining period of the two strategic, medium-term strategic, periods that I have just referred to. Having said that, honorable members, let me say that we are happy as the ministry that we are taking plans that are an indication of the hard work that the department is doing, but at the same time we must indicate that much as there are very inspiring achievements that at the basis on which these plans were elaborated, there are still also challenges that the department is also grappling with. At a high level, when we shall have succeeded as the Department of Correctional Services, it is expected that the rehabilitation work of this department through the correctional programs that we offer would be, among best practices as far as correctional services work is concerned. And with respect to that, there are programs that talks to you know, the participation of our offenders in education programs, in training programs for skills acquisition. There are programs that also allow for their spiritual care, and of course, there are also, you know, programs that speak to the utilization of this very, you know, offenders' labor where it has been skilled for purposes of maintaining our own facilities. There is also, of course, as we know, that one of the main challenges in the successfully ensuring that there's safe custody to citizens who are in conflict with the law, but also that there is the rehabilitation under conditions where human rights are observed. The question of the levels of overcrowding in our correctional centers is very important. It influences everything else. The extent to which we succeed in adhering to our constitutional obligations in terms of conditions under which inmates are kept, the extent to which we succeed in rehabilitating this population, the extent to which we succeed in reintegrating them successfully back into communities, it is a function of the size of the population that we are talking about and the human resources and other resources we have at our disposal. There is a factor which we must always keep in mind when we look at these plans, that these are plans to effect rehabilitation and corrections of citizens who are in conflict with the law. It is an obvious, natural influence that if in the communities from where these inmates, these offenders are coming from, the levels of the culture of observing the laws, if the level of the culture of observing the laws is high, then the business of the Department of Correctional Services becomes less of a problem. But if the levels of conduct culturally within these communities is such that people are more prone and inclined to willingly do things that are against the law, the success of the mission of the department and the work the department must do also becomes more of a task to accomplish. There is a worrying situation at the moment that everyone is aware of, which is that there is almost on a daily basis mass activities that are of citizens who are transgressing the laws. The law enforcement agencies are expected, when that happens, to execute their responsibility. But the judicial, the criminal justice system also, it is expected that it cannot have resources banned by law enforcement agency without achieving or realizing the aim of making sure that justice is seen to be done. And as a result of that, we who are at the downstream end of this value chain end up in a situation where we are not in control of the work that we do, because the numbers of people that we are expected to deal with will exponentially increase as it is happening now. the numbers of South Africans who are from time to time almost on a daily basis detained and arrested for the wrong things that are happening en masse in our communities are a direct negative impact on the work of correctional services. There is an important factor which we must also highlight, which is that the Department of Correctional Services, with this increasing challenge that I've just referred to, it is unfortunately, especially in this financial year, executing its plans with reduced resources. We have dedicated for our work this year a ballpark figure of 23 billion rands. There is just over 600 million which has been cut from our budget, and as you see in the plan, it goes through for the next 3 years. And this is a cut which all other departments were requested to effect in order to make for the shortfall in the overall budget of government in other important areas of policy that government has committed itself. I want to say that, Chair, the plans of the Department of Correctional Services are plans which in other areas you pick up weaknesses, and weaknesses that arise because the data that the department is relying upon it's not as accurate as would want it to be. Where we have shortcomings in our data, we do actually indicate underline the fact that it is quite possible that those areas may see changes as we execute the implementation of our plans. And in particular here, I want to make as an example the rate at which new infrastructure is going to be delivered, and arising out of that, the number of bed spaces the department will then acquire. The data that is relied upon there is not as accurate as we would have wanted it to be. The last important area at a high level, Chair, is to say that the department, as you are aware, has been gradually moving away from the original mission of this department, which was to ensure the safe incarceration of those who were in conflict with the law in South Africa's prisons, to a Department of Correctional Services. And that perspective is contained in the white paper of the department of 2005. The consequence of that is that the department has been gradually moving away from the way it was doing business before to prioritizing rehabilitation. However, in terms of its business architecture, it has not been ideally formatted to realize that goal. You'd be aware that at the moment as we speak, among other things, the department is hard at work in elaborating a new organogram or organizational structure of the department, where the structure can follow the strategy of the department of realizing
correction and rehabilitation as the main mission. And it is critical and it is a matter of urgency that we succeed in putting together an appropriate business architecture for the department and therefore arising out of that an appropriate organizational structure that is aligned to the strategic priorities of the department. That is another important area that I thought at the high level when you look at this plan, you must please keep in mind. Having said that, Chair and honorable members, I want to believe that the gist of today's discussion will be better served by going into the details of the plan, of the plans and interrogating the plans, and the course of further inquiry we'll be able to share more information. Thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Chair. Commissioner?
Thank you, Chair. We will have CDC Katanga presenting our APPs and the CFO, Mr. Lukeke, presenting the financials.
Okay, they're ready. How about it?
Good morning, Chair and members, once again. The first part of the presentation will talk to the performance information, i.e. the performance indicators and targets.
If you can speak into the mic, please.
So the first part of the presentation is going to focus on the performance information, where we'll just articulate the performance indicators and targets for the department for 2018-19.
You're speaking to the PowerPoint, I suppose, yes. Right? The presentation focus.
That's right, yes. No. There's another one which is entitled Annual Performance Plan and Budget.
The guy from IT Bizon did Dr. Martini. But for now we'll be using the hard copies, unfortunately. Okay, continue then, Chief. And please refer to the title of the document that you will be presenting at the particular time.
So it is the one that is entitled Annual Performance Plan and Budget. So I'll be starting from page 3 of the document, which talks to our progress, or the DCS's progress, on implementing the NDP Vision 2030, or the MTSF priorities. As was mentioned, in delivering on the mandate of the DCS, whilst in the current medium-term strategic framework, we are directly identified under Outcome 3, which talks to South Africans being and feeling safe. In the overall rehabilitation and reintegration mandate, we are also contributing indirectly to other areas such as education, health, social cohesion, employment, and skill development. And as we go along in the outer years of the MTSF, that contribution will become more apparent. But in terms of the current MTSF, I am now on slide 4, there are 3 specific performance indicators that are associated with the DCS. And those indicators are mainly indicative of our efforts to reduce repeat offending. And the first one being the number of, or the percentage of offenders who are subjected to correctional programs. And the other 2 indicators talking to parolees and probationers who are not in violation of their conditions. Now, in terms of the way we have set our targets over the 5-year period, you will note that we are adhering to the performance levels that we've set, and that we are on target to to actually achieve those over the five-year period. And going forward, obviously, there will be a view to how we would target that going forward. In terms of the context in which we came up with the performance indicators and targets for the year, a lot of the areas have been touched on at a high level. I'm moving now to slide 6, where we have looked at the operational environment of the department and, you know, looked at the priority areas that we need to focus on. So you will see that in as an overall analysis on the performance indicators that are talking to rehabilitation and the care of offenders, we have looked at increasing our efforts and therefore increasing the targets on those areas. And as such, under rehabilitation, for correctional programs and participation of youth offenders in formal education programs, there is going to be greater emphasis on that, as well as the spiritual, social work, and psychological services for the offenders. There is going to be more effort in that direction. As well as that, from the facilities maintenance program or our own facilities maintenance program, we'll be looking at providing work opportunities for offenders in that area as well. Overcrowding is obviously an area that is putting pressure on our operational environment. And because of overcrowding, we have a roll-on impact on the number of assaults that would occur, the number of escapes, as well as unnatural deaths that might occur in our facilities. Now, this has been mainly because if you look at the trend analysis of our population growth over the last 5 years, we have seen a growth of about 5%. Where in 2012-13 we were sitting on about 152,000, and up to 2017-18 where we're sitting on about 160,000, and our approved accommodation is about 119,000. So that natural progression has an impact on the general environment within the correctional centres. However, in order to alleviate that from a facilities perspective, there is a plan in place to refurbish old facilities that are outdated and derelict and not necessarily fit for purpose. And in addition to that, adding additional bed spaces from new facilities, where we're looking at adding about an additional 18,000 bed spaces over the period of the next 10 years. On reintegration, there are efforts to increase the restorative or to reinforce the restorative justice processes, which would also feed into the parole processes. To this effect, we have looked at adding additional resources to be able to assist us in ensuring that those targets are met. Maybe if I may move to slide 8, which is an area that we would definitely need to emphasize, because that has made us take a view towards all of our performance indicators, is the actual budgetary constraints that we face. So we are facing a situation where we are having reducing baselines over the medium term. However, in the process, we have implemented measures where we are looking at reducing costs and just managing expenses within the department. However, the other side is also to say how best do we become more creative in order to cover more mileage with the little that we have. So those measures we will continue to put in place, and when the CFO goes through the budgetary conversation, then he will give us the detail around those areas. From an HR perspective, as the Deputy Minister mentioned, that we are looking at realigning the structure for it to properly drive our strategy. And as part of that, also we are relooking the service delivery approach of the DCS. A key constraint obviously being the budget cuts, which you know, restricts the number of positions that we're able to fill, and therefore we have to reprioritize or prioritize how we approach that. If I may go to slide 10, which gives us an analysis of the performance indicators that we have reviewed from the 2017-18 financial year to the 2018-19, to say that based on actual performance in 2017-18, we realize that we need to become more realistic in terms of the prospects for delivery, so we amended some of the targets. And therefore, on slide 11, you will see under the sub-program offender development, the target of the number of offenders who participate in educational programs, specifically adult education and training, that target was reduced minimally, and that was because of the discontinuation of certain formal programs. Under the health and hygiene services, we also marginally reduced the target for the percentage of inmates on antiretroviral therapy from 99% to 98%, and that was purely based on an analysis of past performance. That would also follow for the nutritional services indicators below on the percentage of therapeutic diets, where that was actually made more stringent because we have been performing well in that area, so we wanted to put a stretch target on that one. If we move to slide 12, under program 5, which is community reintegration, on the number of offenders or parolees and probationers who participate in restorative justice, on that area we have to take a realistic look based on the resources that we had in place, and also to look at the ratios between the offenders and the offended who are participating in that. So it is just once again to be able to provide a more realistic reflection, but the detail will follow as I go through the detailed performance indicators per program and sub-program. I will now move to the detailed performance indicators and targets per program and sub-program, which is on slide 13 onwards. So if we go to slide 14, which is program 1, administration. The first sub-program, which is management, one of the areas that we given the size of our workforce and also the potential for areas of infringement in terms of corrupt activities, we do monitor that fairly closely. So in instances where there are actual cases of corrupt activities, we have ensured that at least in 95% of the instances, we successfully intervene. So in terms of our performance for the 2017-18 financial year, we're sitting on 96%, and therefore we have kept the target the same over the three-year period from 2018-19 at the same as 96%. But obviously that is taking into account the resources that we would have at any given point in time whilst executing on that. If we move to the next slide, which is slide 16. Part of profiling the department is to have our integrated communication and marketing strategy in place, which looks at both how we profile ourselves to the public and also how we communicate internally as a department. Now, as part of this integrated strategy, there are basically 558 areas that we have to interact. So therefore, the target on that indicator is a reflection that of those 558 activities, and if you look under the 16-17 column, they are detailed under there. So for the 2018-19 to 2019-20, instead of listing them,
you know, by name. We have just said we'll provide the total number. And in measuring that over the years, over the financial year, we are saying that all 568 of those activities must be achieved over the period, and therefore the 100% target. The following sub-program is HR. Under HR, we are looking at the number of officials trained in line with the workplace skills plan. The target there is we're sitting on 22,050. And again, with the resource considerations, we have it increasing to 24,310 by 2021. But where in instances that there's an opportunity to train officials without it having cost implications, then we might find that we would actually be able to achieve higher than that, which would be the aim. The following indicators on the percentage of management areas where the integrated employee health and wellness program is rolled out. We are looking at rolling out the program in the 46, or we have been rolling it out at the 46 management areas that constitute the DCS facilities. Now, we are looking at in 2018-19, there were only six management areas remaining where this program would need to be rolled out. And as such, that is those are the areas that will be covered. And then in 2019-20, there will be the remaining four. And after that, we'll have finished the coverage on that. If we move on to the next slide, which is slide 18, we go to the sub-program finance. Under finance, they're measuring the two key issues of how we manage our budget to ensure that we don't end up either overspending or underspending on the allocation. So our consistent target on that is to say that we want to spend 99.75% of the budget or within that range of with minimal tolerance areas on either side. The other key one that we're striving to is that we do not have an audit qualification. In 2015-16, we managed to attain an unqualified audit. In the 16-17 year, on a technicality, we did get a qualification again. But it would look like in the current year that issue has been resolved. So
what was the issue?
It was on the capital works in progress. However, on the detail of that, the CFO will be talking to that under the financials. So that's on the audit qualification, as I say, we'll only know about that at the end of the audit, which will be in July of this year. Under information technology, as we were saying, that our data has been somewhat not 100% reliable based on the legacy systems that we have in place. So one of the key issues is actually to phase those out and to come into the 21st century and have a fully digitized and integrated inmate management information system. So the indicators for IT are talking about how we implement that. So the first indicator is talking about the modules of this integrated inmate management system being developed. So for 2018-19, as we've indicated, that we'll be doing the final phase of rolling out the nine out of the nine core modules, and after that we're looking at rolling out the whole inmate management system to our various sites. So for 2018-19, we're looking at rolling out to 20 sites, and by 2021 we'll be looking at having rolled out to 80. If we go to slide 20. Part of actually being able to roll out the system is ensuring that the network infrastructure is in place. So one of the things that we need to do to ensure that is to roll out the local area network infrastructure and the voice over internet protocol in the various sites. So that we are saying that for the 2018-19 financial year, we are looking at having rolled out 127, and by 2021 we'll be looking at 170 sites out of a total of 360. And the other side, which is to assist us to report more accurately on offender information, but also not report, but to be able to manage offenders by being more efficient in the way we collect the data around them, would be the automation of the APP indicators. So for the 2018 financial year, we are looking at finalizing the rollout of the key 11 indicators that are core to a lot of the other activities that we monitor around offenders. Then the less prioritized ones, we shall be rolling them out in the later years. The Judicial Inspectorate, as was indicated, is still part of the department's budget allocation. So we have an indicator that encompasses the overall mandate of the inspectorate, which is the inspection of correctional facilities. So they have indicated that they will be inspecting 81 correctional centers per financial year over the 3 years, so that by the 2021 financial year, they'll have covered all 243. If we proceed to program 2, and I am now on slide 23. Under security operations, we are looking at the percentage of inmates who escape from correctional centers and remand detention facilities per year. We're looking at that being 0.034%, which in absolute numbers is we're saying that we do not want to experience more than 56 escapes in the 2018-19 financial year. We're saying that the allowance of one, so by 2021 we're saying also we will not expect more than 57 escapes, which would remain the 0.034%. On the percentage of inmates injured as a result of reported assaults, we're saying that the tolerance level there is at 4.7%, and we're going to keep that consistent over the 3 year period to 2021 as well. On the percentage of unnatural deaths in correctional centers and remand detention facilities, we are looking at 0.032%, which in absolute numbers is 53, which also would remain consistent over the 3 years to 2021. The next sub-program is facilities, where we are, there's two categories that we're measuring on there. The first one being the number of new bed spaces created through construction of new facilities. So for 2018-19, we're looking at the finalization of SANU, which will give us an additional 435 bed spaces. And then from the additional bed spaces created from upgrading facilities, for the 2018-19 financial year, we're looking at 504 additional bed spaces, and they have been broken down as standard on escort and CMATs respectively. For our sub-program offender management, we are looking at measuring the extent of overcrowding in the remand and in our facilities. The target there being set at, well, for the 2017-18 year, we're sitting at 38%, and we're looking at it increasing gradually by 1% per annum and that is again based on the factors that are causing our population to increase, which to a certain extent some are currently not in our control. Also under offender management, the percentage of offenders profiles submitted for case management committees, submitted by case management committees to the parole boards, we're looking at 91%, and that's increasing to 93% over the three year period. And then for remand detention, we look at the rollout of the continuous risk assessment tool. That is for 2018-19. We're looking at rolling out 12 to the of the 125, and that would be the remaining 12 for the whole period. And then after that, it will just be the monitoring, which would be the following indicator, which is the percentage reduction of remand detainees backlog in DCS facilities who have not been subjected to the CRA. Move on to program three, which is rehabilitation. The first sub-program is the actual correctional program. As I indicated, this is the MTSF indicator, which we have been achieving in line with the way we've targeted.
So if I can request you to accelerate, please.
Yes.
I'm worried in the place of your code.
Okay.
It's really going to take us the whole day.
Okay. So the 80%, which is what we have set as a target for the MTSF period, is what we intend to achieve up to 2021. So that would be consistent with what we targeted initially. Under offender development, percentage of offenders participating in skills development programs, we're looking at, the long and short-term skills training, where we are looking at a total of about 3,600 offenders, which would be 80% of the targeted population. And then 80% of those attending TVET College. For the adult education and further education, we are targeting 10,122,619 respectively, and you would see the progression for yourselves there. The grade 12 pass rates were set at 70%, although we should indicate that for the 2017-18 financial year, we did manage to achieve the 77% pass rate. So that would take a view to that when we see the performance of the current year, which we would know towards the end. Under psychological, social, and spiritual services, our program, we are looking at for social work services at 50% and decreasing. And then psychological services, we are targeting 18% through to 20, and then spiritual services will be at 50%, rising to 64. And then to program four, where under the sub-program health and hygiene services, percentage of inmates on ARTS, as I indicated earlier, the target there has been set at 98%, and there's a view being taken to that as well in terms of saying how best do we increase that coverage, but the 98% being realistic because it's been based on how we've been able to perform up until now. And that would be the same as the TB cure rates. And on the percentage of therapeutic diets, we have managed to reduce that, which would also have an impact on our cost for providing nutrition. So that is actually a reflection of our success in managing that particular area. And then the last program, which is social reintegration. The first two indicators on the percentage of parolees and probationers without violations of their conditions, those are both going to be 97% respectively to the end of the MTSF. And as I said, there has been success registered in those areas. on the restorative justice side, as I indicated, that the targets or the difference between the victims and the offenders would also be a reflection of the fact that one offender might have an impact on more than one victim and therefore would be managing or would be expected to have less offenders and more victims are participating in the restorative justice program. On the number of parolees and probationers, we integrated through two communities through halfway houses. We're looking at 160 through to 180, but there is also a review that is being undertaken as to the model of how we actually execute halfway houses. So when that exercise is completed, a review will also be done of that of this particular indicator. And then the number of service points established in community corrections, we're looking at 36 through to 48. And this indicator also supports the parolees and probationers adhering to their parole conditions because it allows them to have more interaction with us. So the rollout of these service points is actually a critical one as well. I think from the performance indicators and targets, that covers it. And I'll hand over to the CFO to talk us through the budgetary implications of that.
Thank you, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Members. Chairperson, maybe just to start off on the question of the qualification. The department over the years worked on resolving its emphasis of matter and basis of qualification. In 2015-16, it was the first time the department received an unqualified audit opinion. In 16-17, there was a requirement in terms of a new requirement to disclose capital work in progress. Basically, it is the projects that are run or implemented by public sector on construction and upgrades of facilities. It was felt that that standard was a duplication of effort between public works and the department because the department does not is not the custodian or doesn't get the source document for those projects as they are being implemented. So it was quite pivotal for the department to disclose in terms of that standard. The National Treasury has since withdrawn the requirement for departments at the national level to account for those projects in their books and left it to public works. And therefore, as we enter, as we finalize the financials for the previous financial year, we will not be allowed, we will not be required to comply with that requirement because it was beyond our control to do so. Chairperson, with the Deputy Minister has indicated that there has been cuts in the next in this MTF, and it's a difficult period for the department and many other departments because we have to reprioritize. And in some instances, as indicated by my colleague, to even reduce targets because of resource scarcity of resources. I will try to summarize the presentation in the interest of time with the permission, Chairperson. But what we do have before us is we will be presenting also the impact on the service delivery on. Due to the cuts per item. On slide 39, we're just presenting the focus areas, which is rehabilitation, as well as incarceration and correction. Lastly, community corrections, which is on the reintegration of offenders back into communities. When we move over to slide 40, it's a summary of the allocations over the 2018 MTEF. But what is important is to see the growth levels per program where we have tried by all means, if we look at the vote in total, it will grow by on average 6.1%. But on administration, we've taken a position to try to reduce there to fund other important programs. So you see there that administration average growth is just 5.2%, the lowest over the 3 years. Incarceration as the biggest program maintains an average of 6.1%, whereas rehabilitation is above the average growth, where we are trying to finance more positions on case management committees, which are responsible for rehabilitation work, and care at 7.8%, and lastly, social reintegration at 5.9%. Members will note that if we go below that table, underpayment of capital assets, it will reduce by 5% over the MTF process. In the main, there is because we have pressures on electricity and water consumption, and we had to cut the budget on CAPEX to compensate the pressures on municipal services, which is water and electricity throughout the department. That budget on municipal services is a formula determined by Treasury, and therefore you don't get what you basically project, but they limit it to the baseline that has been available over the years. However, Chairperson, with more with higher population inside the centers, obviously, and water leakages and dilapidated infrastructure, water leaks and consumption of water is much higher than expected. Changes in terms of the budget, we in 2018-19, overall, 605 million has been cut. 2019-20, 668 million. And in 2021, it will be 709 million. On slide 41, we provide the reasons. In December, November, December last year, there was a need to fund the fee-free higher education, and 40 billion rand was identified to be cut throughout the national department, and we were cut that 605 and 709 million over the MTF. In 2018-19, we are allocated 23.8 billion, 19-20, 25.4 billion, and 2021, 27.2 billion. The slide 2042 presents the percentages in terms of the cut and the details thereof. In the 18-19, that 605 million amounts to 2.47% of the total vote, growing to 2.54% in 2021. We had to select areas where in the short term it would not have an impact, but of course looking at the fact that over the end we'll have to find a solution around areas where we cut. Accommodation charges is the budget allocated for maintenance, which is done, and upgrade, which is done by Public Works. In 2018-19, that's 560 million. The JIGS baseline reduction, as part of program administration, received a cut of 1.8 million, grew to 2 million in the outer year. SACITA as well, and we cut compensation of employees' performance bonuses by 14 million over the 3 years. Perhaps to also indicate to members, the Department of Correctional Services does not pay performance bonuses to SMS members. The performance bonuses we are referring to here is for non-SMS members, which is part of their agreements with, in terms of policy of public service. On slide 43, we present the impact on accommodation charges. One of our objectives is to ensure that the human, the conditions of incarceration are humane. But the cut on the maintenance budget to DPW will have an impact in the medium to long term on the maintenance that is supposed to be done on our facilities. Members will know that we've got old infrastructure that requires maintenance, but these cuts will have that impact in terms of further exacerbating the conditions of those facilities. On compensation of employees, I've turnover is possible, particularly because of overcrowding. When we have less staff, it means that there's less custodian officials providing services in the units. The ratio obviously will be higher, and the safety of our officials is at stake. And therefore, these ceilings have got an impact on the officials who are supposed to work in these conditions. With respect to JICS, it's an oversight body, and is responsible, as the minister and the deputy minister indicated, for oversight on our work. And these cuts will affect, in particularly the independent correctional center visitors. They may be fewer, and therefore they may not be able to discharge their duties as required. Chairperson, on slide 45, which I won't deal with, is just an indication of how the department has, or how the budget of the department has been cut since 15-16, and we show you up to 2021. And it is in all areas, compensation of employees, goods and services, as well as capital assets. Continuing with the impact, Chairperson, I've already indicated the cut. If we consolidate the cut in 2016 until 2021, on compensation of employees, we have reduced that budget by over 3 billion rand due to austerity measures. We used to have a funded post establishment of 42,006 posts. Due to the ceilings and the cuts within the public sector, that funded establishment has been reduced to 39,101, and therefore we are unable, obviously, to fill any further position due to the lack of the budget thereof. On slide 47, we indicate that 2,893 posts have to be cut to align to the compensation ceiling. A further 866 posts had to be abolished to accommodate funding for case management committees as well as the JICS. We have assisted to prioritize those particular areas. Lastly, one of the pressure areas is also the OSD, the Occupational Specific Dispensation for Correctional Officials. We signed an agreement with Labour in November 2016, which agreement provides for back pay to all correctional officers who were qualifying to be in that OSD, and that will be paid over the 3 years beginning 16-17, 17-18, and lastly in 18-19 we'll be finalizing the 30% payment to the officials. One of the issues, as I indicated, Chairperson, we have moved a lot of ground where we reduce number of qualifications, ultimately receiving an unqualified audit opinion in 2016. But as we reduce administration program and freezing posts in finance, supply chain, human resources, and other corporate services, we run the risk of governance challenges and compliance challenges in those areas, and particularly on segregation of duties. That's where we will run into the problem where we don't have sufficient staff to do work in the respective management areas and correctional centers. Chapter 1, slide 49, we again indicate that goods and services will reduce by 2.2 billion over the years. On average, goods and services budget is not sufficient to cater for the departmental needs. It's only growing at 3.2%, and our items that we procure on goods and services is mainly on the programs that we indicated, healthcare, nutrition, and food prices, as members will be aware, are much higher in terms of inflation than that 3.2%. There's also traveling that is required. The major impact on the overspending terms of fleet, the department on the social integration is required to monitor parolees and probationers, and that requires visits by our officials. In terms of the visits, you find there is a high risk parolees, a medium risk, some of them up to 8 times have to be visited by officials to ensure that they comply with their parole conditions. And we require fleet for that and officials to do those visits to ensure that they are complying to their parole conditions. And therefore, as a department, we always need a proper, appropriate fleet for those items. Lastly, on goods and services, on VETs, we've projected that with the increase of the VETs from 14% to 15%, an estimate our goods and services budget costs will rise over the 3 years by 158 million due to the nature of the expenditure that we procure. Chairperson, on capital assets, on slide 15, we have reduced that budget by 847 million since 2016. We have had to stop buying machinery and equipment over the entire 2018 term, which is not sustainable. Other than obviously the security and IT equipment, we have to buy those. But the rest of the other equipment, such as agricultural workshops, production workshops, the fleet that I referred to, will be redundant and will agency require funding on those items. In relation to the infrastructure delivery program, the following correctional centers will be commissioned: Sanin, Standerton, Escort, which will yield 435 bed spaces for Sanin, 183 for Standerton, and 309 for Escort. And these also require human resources, additional human resources. So from a planning point of view, while the ceilings are imposed, there will be correction centers that will need to be opened or and be operationalized and requiring additional resources. Chairperson, I've already dealt with the response services. I won't go into detail in slide 51. On agriculture, Chairperson, on agriculture, we've got a number of farms and small sites where we produce a number of things, milk, be it on the agronomy side, the crops such as vegetables and cabbages and so forth, and fruits, as well as meat. We do that as part of both ensuring that we are self-sufficient, but additionally important and also important is for skills development of the offenders, because they work in those facilities on to do production on wood and textiles, as well as steel workshops. But from a farming point of view, the climatic conditions in the past, such as drought, have affected us in terms of production level. So there is that challenge as well. And the reducing of the number of employees also affects the operational within those production workshops, because if we were to ensure that the offenders are out in the fence and they are in the farm, they also require guarding. So if we've got shortage of staff, we are unable to then produce to the maximum or the potential of those production facilities. So when you have less staff, you have less offenders working in the agriculture. Therefore, and your production workshops don't produce to capacity, and as a result, we then have to buy from source from externally, which affects our budget. The fleet I've indicated, we require over 666 million over the next 3 years to replace approximately 3,314 vehicles, as well as agricultural workshop machinery. As reflected on page 53. From slide 54, at a program level, the The breakdown is presented in terms of the average share of a program over the next 3 years on average. On slide 55, we're just giving the committee an indication of the conditions of the budget. Repairs and maintenance reduced to 169 million. Upgrade, rehabilitation and refurbishment of correctional centers is 512 million. And compensation of employees is 16.995 billion. All these amounts under compensation of employees are ring fenced, and no violence can be done without the approval of Parliament as introduced in the past 2 years. Chairperson, I think the rest of the slides, Chairperson, in the interest of time, just present the care program and the allocation, as well as the number of posts that are within those particular programs. But it's important to highlight the slide 64, where we indicate allocations per region. Although members will note that the two regions, which are three, element is Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, is a combined region, three provinces, and then Free State, Northern Cape is one region, and the rest are provinces. The allocation per region is mainly driven by the population, and you see Gauteng, your Gauteng, your Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal would have bigger budgets because of the population of inmates in that particular region. If you permit me, Chairperson, last slide on slide 70, we present the cost drivers, the projections, which is our inmates in our care, and as well as the supervision cases, parolees and probationers. If we look at that slide, all categories have got growth. With projections that your parolees will grow from 53,000 to 56,800, probationers as well, up to 18,600, and these are our drivers of expenditure. On average, the caseload on parolees probationers will grow from 70,700 in 17-18 to 75,552. Our sentence offenders in the middle, 120,000 to 123,000 as indicated. But on the slide, last slide, we indicate that combined, the projected number of inmates in excess of our approved capacity, the overcrowding, in 2018-19 will be 46,132, meaning that we'll have more facility, more inmates as catered for in our facilities by that number. And that also has to be funded. There must be our goods and services, there must be hygiene services provided, there has to be medication provided from this budget that is being reduced. There must be nutrition, 3 meals a day for those inmates. So we thought we must present the numbers to indicate to the committee. Overall, Chairperson, we are, as the department, this is one department that embraces efficiency. Where there's waste, we are cutting out waste. Even in the previous financial year, we did not exceed our budget, but we have to reduce in most areas. But what is important is to ensure that this system is taken care of so that it's able to deliver and break the cycle of crime in the country. Thank you, Chairperson.
Jakes, do you have anything to say?
Thank you, Chair. I will not say anything right now. Our CEO, Mr. D'Souza, said something from what I understand. Part of it has been covered. But perhaps they can present what they prepared, and if there is time, and depending on you, I could make a few general remarks about VICS and our situation within the department, but I would like to give them the opportunity to present whatever it is that they have prepared.
Thank you.
Are you able to do that in 10 minutes?
Yes.
Let's shoot.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Members, thank you for the opportunity. The Honourable Deputy Minister. We only have the one indicator within the DCS.
Your name and surname and your information, please, into the record of it.
Vikash Mitra, and I'm the CEO of the Judicial Inspectors. We have only one indicator which has already been alluded to, and that is the 81 inspections versus 243 correctional centers throughout the country. This indicator has been established to meet the five-year cycle of the MTSF, right up to 243. What needs to be noted is that we have limited resources in order to conduct these inspections. Currently, JIGS only has five inspectors in order to conduct these 81 inspections that we have cited on our as an indicator. We are in the process of restructuring this core function so that we could increase our footprint of our core mandates, that is inspections. We are investigating to increase this by at least to 123 inspections over a cycle so that we could achieve at least 50% of the verdicts to correctional centers over a period of time. So this is where JIC is currently situated with regards to this indicator. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Judge, you've got 3 minutes at most. How much time do you want, Judge?
Sorry? May I have five, or shall we rather?
Five is five.
Thank you. Yes, let me say that yesterday we made a fairly detailed presentation to the Portfolio Committee, and I certainly do not want to repeat that, but we were asked at the end to put it in writing, and if you are interested, we could make the same available to this committee, and that would save me a lot of the detail. Let me just say in very brief terms, JITS is in much better shape than it was 2 years ago. In terms of our operational possibilities, we have a new CEO, we have filled vacancies, etc. Our cooperation with the ministry, to the best of my knowledge, is very, very good. The Deputy Minister here specifically has been encouraging us from day one, amongst other things, to have a higher public profile. Our cooperation with the department is generally very good. We met with the new National Commissioner at a time when he was still sneezing because of the carpets in his office, which he had to change. I hope he has succeeded in the meantime. But we had a cordial meeting where we explained where we are, etc. With regional commissioners like Ms. Moodley, I see here of the Free State, we've had an excellent relationship and a lot of help. Our relationship with staff on the ground when we visit centers generally is extremely good. And we find sometimes that the staff have more complaints than the inmates. Independence was mentioned and where we are located. You may know or may not know that there is litigation pending by an NGO attacking the constitutional validity of the Correctional Services Act because they say that JICS is not sufficiently independent. The president is the first respondent and the inspecting judge the fourth respondent. To make a long story short, the lawyers of the different entities, respondents came together and there seems to be unanimity that a new model must be developed to make JITS more independent. And that process is on the way. If necessary, one could provide more details. Speaking for myself, independence is first and foremost a state of mind on which I have no problems. We have not had any political interference from the ministry, for example. However, the fact that we are located inside DCS is sometimes frustrating, I think, both for DCS and for us. There's something going on here. The previous commissioner at one time indicated that he would like us to be more independent so that he can get rid of the annoying nuisance judge who asked him for all kinds of things all the time. There are some issues that we do not understand about our budget, which we can address either now or later located within DCS. Last point, apart from the Act requires us, that's the Correctional Services Act, requires us to report on each inspection to the Minister and to the relevant departmental portfolio committees. We present annual reports. We put our other inspection reports together in quarterly reports. Yesterday, or in this week, we furnished the latest one to the Ministry and to the portfolio committee, and perhaps you must indicate to me what our obligations are regarding this committee. But what we have decided to do is to focus on themes. In other words, rather than on every specific incident of perhaps violence or suicide or whatever, to focus also on themes that seem to be systemic. Now, the obvious ones are overcrowding, to which I do not personally have a solution. Idea that the parole board might come up with some suggestion regarding amnesty, I don't know. Our theme reports would deal, for example, with violence, which is an ongoing issue. We have been requested recently by the Minister to look at corruption. But the one that I would like to bring to the attention of the committee, because it ties in with what was mentioned here, is that I, speaking for myself, have recently been more and more alarmed about the state of facilities. We have a lot of information, and we're actually working on a report. We don't have a final report, and we don't have any recommendation. But some of the facilities are state of the art. Some facilities are in very bad shape. There seems to be a shortage of uniforms. That's what we are told by the staff on the ground. And there seems to be a shortage of shoes, for example, in winter. We have slides, which we do not have here today, of people in a place like Elliotsdale wearing the sandals that their families might have bought at Mr. Price or wherever, because there are no prison shoes available. Some of those things seem to be serious. The facilities, a number of kitchens have not been certified for years. Some concrete floors are breaking up, providing handy weapons for those who would like to use them. And we have seen places where the ceiling apparently does not accord with prescriptions, and where the remedy to keep people away from escaping through the ceiling seems to be to take away their bed. We have photographs of it, and what I now say is entirely comes from what we were told by the officials on the ground in those centres. So the worrying thing for us is we don't know where the problem is, and we are still working on a way to find out where the problem is, because the ongoing refrain from DCS officials on the ground is that the problem is public works. We have that same problem with our own office space. There seems to be a very long route from between us, or between a centre in Stanger or Elliotsdale or Springbok, where the kitchen was burned down, through public works, through tenders, etc. And it takes years for something to be done. I do not know where the problem is, and I am looking for ways for us to investigate that which would fall within our mandate and, more importantly, within our limited capacity. But the facilities, obviously, Chair, as you can imagine, and as our DCS colleagues would know, would be very directly tied to the overcrowding, to the gangsterism, to violence. There are places without water for much of the day. the state-of-the-art center near Kimberley, namely Tswelopele, is, I'm sorry, I don't want to sound cynical, but it seems to be so state-of-the-art that there's no hot water, at least a few weeks ago when we were there. And the explanation given there to us, which I don't know whether it's correct or not, is that the water pump system is too sophisticated for any local engineer to repair. Perhaps it was exaggerated, but we were even told that engineers have to come from Johannesburg. They are not available in Kimberley, and it was even said that they may have to come from the United States. Whether that was a deliberate exaggeration, I don't know. The same center, which is, like I said, supposed to be state-of-the-art, there seems to be, there's nobody in the single cells because the locks to the single cells don't work. Again, perhaps over-sophistication, I don't know. So with that, Chair, we are at your disposal anytime on any specific topic. We can make available what we presented yesterday. We can send our reports to you regularly if we have not been doing it. And we are available to give our views. The views I express here are tentative, based on impressions at the moment, and there might very well be good answers. But the facilities, the members of the portfolio committee were shocked. They said that we spoiled their day yesterday. That is all I have to say. Thank you very, very much, Chair, for the opportunity.
So thank you, Judge. Please benefit us with your reports.
Yeah, so can I just add, to be on a note of fairness, obviously, we're pointing out the problem areas. A lot of things are very, very good. From what I've seen of facilities in some other countries, United States, England, photographs of Russia, etc., we are nowhere near the worst, but I don't think that is our yardstick. One thing I can say for the department, for example, is there seems to be very, very good records of people. They can always tell you exactly who was where and at what time they were unlocked and locked and whatever these terms are. It is not the kind of situation that we see on television programs where people disappear into a deep dark hole until a family member can bribe a lawyer to bribe an official. We are nowhere near that kind of situation. And many of the facilities we've seen, I've seen a hospital, for example, in Brandfort, for example, which would compare to the best in the country, even private hospitals. So, of course, there is the good side, but the problematic issues are indeed worrying because they are, one cannot always say it's a few individuals or these people. These are deep systemic things. And perhaps the problem is not in DCS. Perhaps it's with public works. Perhaps it's with, I don't know where. I don't know what public works would have to do with these shoes, for example, but we don't know what the answer is. But thank you very, very much again. Yeah.
Thank you, Judge. We actually have called upon public works because we know some facilities, actually, including police station, correctional services, courts,
yeah,
are under public works, and the whole Ms. Masala on issues of maintenance in government is really confusing. Maybe public works will clarify that to us. We've got them scheduled in our program to brief us exactly what they're doing and which are they in, what is it that they're not doing in which department. Having said that, can I now then allow members to pose questions and comments? I'm first going to note hands, please. Can I give Dr. Matime to take the first opportunity, her maiden question? Honorable Engelbrecht, Honorable Galakis, Honorable Mteja, Honorable Mokwili, in that order.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and with your indulgence, I would like to talk once and once only, that is, maybe I've been making notes, if you allow me. But first, Chair, allow me to talk about an issue from my constituency, which I think belongs to this team, about the court in Mecklenburg. Where the court sees, Chair, six people have been killed, suspects have been apprehended. Parents on both sides are in this court. But you can hardly hear what the magistrate is saying. The sound system in that facility is not working. After the proceedings, both sides are more angry with each other because each side suspects that it was the manipulation of the system so that people don't hear the justice that is being meted out. That is in Middleburg. So on page 19 and 20 of this one. 19 and 20 of this one. I'm not sure what the correct denominator is. The one thing says out of 461, the other one says out of 360. That's a clarity seeking question. Chatterton, on the escape, Chatterton, I'm not sure that what our numbers are referring to. Are we referring to the incidences or are we referring to the number of people that are escaping? I'm not sure what the numbers refer to, Chief. My next concern, Chairperson, is on abolition of posts. How do we do that, Chairperson, when unemployment is so high? Do we fire these people? Do we freeze funded posts? How exactly do we do that? And how do we balance this abolishment of posts with the high unemployment outside and the graduates that are walking the streets? My next concern, Chairperson, is with regard to goods and services. One, do we, he touched on, part of the answer I think was given. My question on this one is insourcing. To what extent are we insourcing the services? Lastly, Chairperson, we used to have, you know, high inflation of prices. You know, this Coke can which could be costing 10 rand or so in some of the shops, and we would procure, when I say I mean government, then we procure it for 100 rand. Okay. I would hope that maybe this tendency is not occurring in this particular department here. Chairperson, I didn't know what Jakes meant, but I have educated myself. I think, what does it say? Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services. I've learned something, Chairperson. My practice is on fire. Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. And can I note our appreciation for the report? Comprehensive, short, but comprehensive. I've just got one or two questions. I appreciate the fact that we need to reduce costs, and it's been mentioned by the financial officer that machinery costs have been reduced, so I have a huge concern with that, from 176 million to 71 million. And I really have a concern with that. If we can just maybe have a little bit more explanation there. And then I understand the fleet services, we increased, that was answered because of the visitation that needs to be taken, and that was increased. So that question I do understand, that's been answered. And then I didn't see a target for filling of vacancies, a specific target. I found that absent on the APP. And then in terms of the remand detention facilities, a 15 million rand was allocated for a feasibility study. If we can maybe just get a little bit of clarification in terms of where are we with that feasibility study. And then, Chair, I appreciate the 18,000 new beds within the next 10 years, but I've picked up that the APP figures differ from the estimate of the national expenditure. For example, Philip Polokwane speaks about 3,000 beds, and yet the estimate of national expenditure is 1,000 beds. So there's a bit of a discrepancy there. If we can get clarification on that one. And then one of our target is building safer communities. How is the department and what practical steps are they intending to implement for social integration? And another issue is electronic tagging of inmates. Is that being done? Is that something that's going to be left behind? If we can get a report, just a quick report on that. And then finally, Chair, in terms of HIV stats, the target percentage for inmates tested and their awareness of their results, that's not a target. That's been taken out, and I'm wondering why that's been taken out. What the reason for that is. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I hope the Deputy Minister will take my comments in the light of constructive suggestions. I have a lot of sympathy for some of the issues that they have to deal with. The important part for me of correctional services is the fact that as it currently stands, if you have a young person due to circumstances or one stupid decision doing something, it's effectively a life lost because he goes to prison, and the nature of our prisons are in such a way that it's very difficult for him to at some stage in his life be rehabilitated and find a job and move forward. That is a consequence of the current system. I think that is probably one of the reasons why the Minister also said, I welcome that, that it's a matter of, it's critical and a matter of urgency, to quote you, that you came up with a white paper in 2015 to restructure the whole system, which I think is very important. However, Minister, to use an example, I would love to drive a Porsche and own a house in Clifton. And I drive a Polo Vivo and I live in Acacia Park. I can't afford the Porsche and the house in Clifton at the moment. Now, you either have a choice and you can say, I sit without something to take me from point A to B, I sit without a roof over my head because I want either that Porsche and that house in Clifton or nothing at all. Or you can go for something you can actually afford that will still do the job and still take you from point A to B and still be a roof over your head. And I think that is where the problem lies. Is that there is a plan in place on paper. In an ideal world, you would have the budget to implement that plan. But your budget is being cut year after year after year after year, and it's becoming more and more and more difficult to implement that ideal plan. Now, you can either sit and try to swim with the limited money that you have to implement this plan that you need money for, or you can go back to the drawing board and say, this is the amount of money that we have. And let's be realistic, I don't think that over the next year or if you come back as the government after 2019, that any time soon, you're going to get a massive increase in budget. So you're going to have to look at a plan, reprioritize, and see what you can realistically do with the money that you have. Currently, that is not working. The reason why I say that is when one thinks Department of Correctional Services, you think prisons. Today we've only spoken about the prisons and the conditions of prisons. Correctional Services is so much more than just prisons. But because of the budget constraints, we're sitting with a situation where we only focus on prisons because we can hardly keep them in good conditions and sort them out with the budget that we have. So there is no other scope of looking at correctional services instead of prisons. This department, if I'm correct, was renamed from prisons to correctional services because it's supposed to be so much more. We haven't today spoken about anything other than the prisons itself. And it is a consequence of the fact that with the current plan that you have in place, it does not speak to the limited budget that you have. And respectfully then, Minister, I would encourage you to look at your budget, prioritize firstly, because your priority should be to rehabilitate inmates in order to allow them to become decent members of society and to be reintegrated and to actually change their lives. And that's the objective of this whole department. If you prioritize that and you've looked at what
what you can do with the budget that you can, because you're not going to get a Christmas present from the Minister of Finance anytime soon. And then you can actually start changing this department. Otherwise, this is a ticking time bomb. And then finally, Chairperson, just as a last comment, I would encourage also the Deputy Minister to mention to the President that when one day when he does find it in his heart to reduce his cabinet size, that the first department he should cut is the Department of Public Works. You can manage your prisons yourselves much more efficiently. Thank you.
I can take all the questions, but the last one, Deputy Minister. I know you are a shrewd politician.
thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation. My first question is about on slide 15, where you talk about the root out corruption activities within the department. I want to find out what measures or how do you monitor the issues of corruption in the departments, and that, and did you able to come up with some results that you can mention here? My second one is that on slide number 23, you talk about provide for a safe and secure and correctional environment for inmates. Then you also talk about the inmate who escaped from correction centers. And you mentioned that it needs to go around about 0.034%. How, because when we visit the centers, the way they are built up, the way the security is there, the way everything is there, how did escape happen? Are you able to even to put a percentage, it must not go, because you anticipated that it will happen anyway. But how does that happen? The third one is from the financial manager itself. You talk about the prison post. If you embark on filling this post, how do you do about those posts? You just freeze it, and that post is ineffective anymore, or the other people are working overtime, working for other people that are not intrusive because of the post has been freeze, and now this man that is left there is doing some other people's work. And we say that we do that perfectly by doing that. And you also talk about freezing posts, and you talk about opening up new centers for correctional. You talk about new correctional centers that need to be open. And how do you open the new centers without, on the current centers, you are not employing anymore, you are freezing posts, but you are talking about opening up the new centers. How are you going to do that? The judge talk about that the staff is complaining more than the inmates. My question is, what is the common complaint from the staff? What is the common complaint? What is it that you can address from the staff? Lastly, it is common in practice that every year our budget, Cohesion Service budget, is reduced. Minister, Deputy Minister, have you got the plan in place of restructuring the correctional budget according to the budget that we have, and also able to run the correctional centers, the department, correctly with the minimum budget that we have? If there's no plan in place for that, what do we do? What are you going to do next year if the budget is reduced again? Thank you.
Yes, Honorable Mokwele. Honorable Mokwele will be the last one.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner, and the Enterprise for honoring our committee. And I would like to emphasize that we give Deputy Minister a round of applause as a select committee, that whenever we meet him, he is available for us. That on its own is a comment. I've got a few questions, Chair. With regard to the operation of the Department of Correctional Services, in your presentation, there's nowhere where you speak about or you highlight the budgets that are allocated for private correctional centers. I would like to know how much do we spend as a state for private correctional centers? How long will we be having private correctional centers as a country? And what are the reasons for that? And when are we intending to conclude that? And also, who is benefiting from that facility? Also, last year, Chair, the department did mention the issue of security measures for the parolees, those machines that you were putting on the parolees. We don't know how much I have you spent since the previous budget. How much are you going to spend for this budget? Is that system working for our country? Or if not, what is it that you are intending to do with that regard? Also, I'm concerned about our officials that have reached the ceiling in terms of promotion. That on its own brings, I know, because I was once a public servant, I know that when you are told that you have reached a ceiling, it means you can't grow any longer. So you will be there for as long as you are still in that department. And that thing, most of the time, results in officials being demoralized. And they are unable to perform their duties. That's why most of them will, at the end, engage in these illegal activities within the centers. So those staff that we are having that have reached the ceiling, what is it that you are doing? Because I assume SMS is senior management. I don't know the S stand for what. Senior management what? Service. So I assume those SMS, they don't even get their performance bonuses. So I can imagine how are they performing their duties. What is it that you are doing to make sure that you keep them in your system? Also, the ratio of an official vis-a-vis inmate. There was a case in Portsmouth, if I'm not mistaken, where the inmate escaped. And the reason was that the ratio of officers inmates were below. It means you don't have enough officers that looks up upon the inmates, and that on its own it results in those illegal activities again. So how do you balance the two? Minister, I'm worried about your budget cut. Deputy Minister. Besides the plan, because we know you have a plan anyway, even if it's not convincing the treasurer. That's why the treasurer is forever cutting your budget. What are the reasons for this budget cut for the previous three financial years? And what are you intending to improve in your plans that are there? Your department is struggling in terms of resources, being lead, structure, and human being. Have you ever thought of prioritizing the needs, that is the human being, needs, and the structure? There is a slide in your presentation, my brother, that speaks about the smuggling of disciplinary cases for smuggling. But when I look, I think this document is the only colored document that we have been presented with. It says smuggling 2015-2016, 55 cases. 2016-2017, 55. Then 2017-2018, 58. It means there is a problem. Whether you are disciplining your officials, fact of the matter is that the number remains the same, or it increases per financial year. It means within your system, National Commissioner, there are problems. And also, I'm not convinced about the escape cases. As you can see, they demo more lining A1, 52, 65, 55. I don't know whether you were doing it for the sake of presenting, or if these are real cases that you are dealing with. Lastly, now we are tired of hearing the department coming to us and complain about public works. I will request that when you come to us, DCS, don't come here and complain about public work. Because cabinet ministers, they sit in their cabinet meetings. Each one of them presents their programs. And we think that we've got what we call intergovernmental relations. So I don't know why every time when you come as department, you cry about public works. what special does speciality is public works well? King say no for public works is saving that you can't confront them. Are you not giving public works your program, your plan, your budget for them to be able to, when they do their plans, they can also include you? Or in your intergovernmental relations, what is it that you are discussing? Elongore, it will, at the end, lead the Department of Public Works to perform its duty. So for now, Chair, I will pause. Lastly, there is a slight way you speak about vacancies. I saw there is a correctional official CV. I don't know what is correctional official CV and NCB. And that's where you are lacking. And I think in terms of the level, that's where you have more vacancies. And I saw the level. It means the department needs those professionals. And also the vacancy of professional nurse. Do you have, as a department, a retention strategy or a system where you are giving a system where you attract skilled personnel so that they can be of your assistance into the department? Thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Let me also welcome the presentation and thank you and thank the Deputy Minister and the new Commissioner and all officials. Yes, yeah. Chairperson, I think I'm a little bit covered by my colleagues. Yeah. The only thing that I wanted to, at the committee, we visited the Correctional Service, Mthatha Correctional Center. And the state of the art of that corruption was very, very unacceptable, was very bad. But luckily, there was an official from Public Works who promised that they have a plan for the entire corruption center. I don't know, I want to be a member there. Is there any update from that? Also, I'd like to check from the JICS. You mentioned that there are attacks of intimidation of JICS staff. I want to know, is there any way of trying to protect the staff of the JICS to do their work? And also you mentioned that there are residents in KZN who deny access to see to visit their places. I think, Chairperson, I'm covered. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Member. That's one issue from my side. You know, when you talk about the issue of serving meals to the to the prison population, from where I'm sitting, I think big business that will impact even on your correction function and address the whole issues of socio-economic challenges that even the inmates that are serving prison terms are facing out there. Have you considered looking at outsourcing, not necessarily outsourcing, or creating a triple P kind of a thing, just to handle and manage prison meals serving and so on? I'm not for privatization, yes, but I don't have a correct way to put it. I said triple P. It's the best way. Over to you, Minister.
Now, Honourable Members, thank you for the questions. I'm going to request the officials from the department in accordance to their responsibilities or their functions within the department to help provide information around the questions posed by members to the best of their ability. National Commissioner? Okay, COO, over to you, and I'll come in at the end if there are any specific areas that I may want to add something.
Over to you, Commissioner. You can dedicate.
Chairperson and honorable members, the delegation will respond on all the questions that I've categorized them as follows. The issue of the sound system in the courts, that is the issue of justice, not correctional services. In terms of page 19 and 20, in terms of the denominator, Mr. Katenga, Citizen Strategic Management, will respond on that one. The state incident in the APP, number of people escaping, or who are measuring incidents, is also Mr. Katenga. Or the abolishment of post HR, Mr. Response will respond on that. Goods and services, and insourcing, CFO, and also the issue of inflation. It will be CFO, machinery reduction, CFO, filling of vacancies, HR response, feasibility study, Mr. Katenga, strategic management, and the 18,000 bed space. Mr. Katenga will respond on that. Safer communities, that is social integration, electronic monitoring, and electronic tagging, is Ms. Mpandaba, that's Ms. CDC, and social reintegration. Testing for HIV on the APC, Mr. Katenga. Then the budget cuts, CFO will elaborate on that one. Then slide 15, in terms of root out corrupt activities, it will be respond again, HR. Then slide 23, provide a safe and secure correctional environment for officials and offenders. Then it will be CSO Chief Operations, Chief Security Officer, Mr. Mutepa. Freezing of course, what process is being followed, Ms. Bond will come in again, this is HR. Then, in terms of the budget for private correctional service centers or correctional facilities, how long will we have that one? Who is benefiting? The CFO will respond on that one. In terms of officials that have reached the ceiling, reached their top notch, HR will respond on that one. SSM is not getting bonuses, HR will respond on that one. Then the ratio of offenders, the example that was cited, the escape at POSMO, RC Plus, will respond on that one. Then the issue of fleet, CFO will respond on that one. Then in terms of disciplinary cases, 2016-17 went up, which indicates that the measures that are put in place are not really delivering results. HR will respond on that one. Then escape cases, Chief Security Officer, Mr. Mteta will respond on that one. Then the issue of public works. How we interface with public works, CDC, small banner, will respond on that one. Then vacancies, correctional, the correctional center level, center base is high, and how we recruit professionals such as nurses, and retain them. That would be also HR. Then the last two, the attack on the chief staff and the chief staff being prevented from entering the center, then it will be the small group. Yeah. Then we can start with...
In that order?
Yes.
It is an order, ne? In your language.
thanks, Chair and members. I will respond to the items that are talking to the AP. On the issue of slide 19 and 20, on the denominator on the IT indicators. If we go to slide 19, first of all, we must indicate that we do have correctional centers as well as community correction sites. So if we look at this first one, where we're saying to 461, that is correctional centers inclusive of community correction sites. Whereas when you go to the next one, which is the rollout of the land, that is talking to specifically correctional centers, which is the reduced number of 360. So that would be the differentiation between the two. On all the security indicators, we are, it's rather the number of people than the number of instances. There was a question around why there's no target for vacancies, but it was there previously. Now, the way our strategy or the implementation of strategy is structured is that we have the APP indicators, which are considered those that are core to delivering on the strategic objectives. And then below that, we have the operational plans and the operational targets, which support the overall APP or strategic indicators. So whilst we may have certain indicators at this level, below that, at an operational level, we do also monitor certain outputs. So for example, on the on the vacancies indicator, if you look for the 2017-18 financial year, we had the filled posts or the filled and funded posts were sitting at around 39,246. But at the time, we were looking at a post establishment of in excess of 41,422. Now, because of these budget cuts and the need to rationalize, the available funding for the 2018-19 financial year is such that we can only fund around the figure of 39,000 posts. So, which means, in effect, there is no vacancy rate because we cannot fund the 41,422. Therefore, it became perfunctory to measure that at a strategic level. So we reduced it to an operational level and it will be monitored on an ongoing basis. It's the same thing with the HIV indicator as well, that it had been achieved at a strategic level. So therefore we have to move it to the to operations. I think those are the ones that I'll respond to and I'll hand over to the colleagues. No, I think I've covered it, and I'll hand over to my colleagues to carry on with the order of responses.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will deal with the financial question. There was a question by Dr. Mateme about goods and services. To what extent are we insourcing? Chairperson, the issue of it's a combination of outsourcing. If we look at the services around inmates, which is nutrition. We only outsource at the big managed area, such as Ho Chi Minh, Portsmouth, in terms of delivery of food. Nutritional needs, which is one of the big ones. But the, there are also smaller ones, such as KZN, Butter Farm, and also Free State Northern Cape. The other items we buy in terms of hygiene, which includes your toweling material, those type of things. On healthcare, that would be, we have our own clinic, but obviously we buy medication from pharmaceuticals. But where the service or they need specialty, then they go out to public hospitals where we are expected to pay private rate patients because all inmates pay. They don't get free services at public hospitals. The extent to which we are able to sustain ourselves, as I indicated, we have got 21 fully fledged farms where items that we produce, such as eggs, we will be distributing across. So if one farm is producing eggs more than it requires, it will be distributed to nearing centers. Milking as well, we do milk. There's also items such as piggeries. We've got piggeries, so we produce pork. Crops and vegetables, as I indicated. If the committee wishes us to give you we can put it in writing, the production statistics for the entire year, where we are consuming them and distributing them across. We also have, we have bakeries where we produce, in Ho Chi Minh is the first bakery in the department, where we produce bread and it is distributed for consumption within the facilities. I think if we look at Ho Chi Minh, for example, they can do 2,000 loaves a day. So we have that capacity, but if we look at the presentation, because of the, we are saying we can expand that capacity, but we require an investment in terms of buying the ovens and the mixers, the separators, and so forth. In terms of high exorbitant prices, we started a process where each year we analyze the prices that we are paying per item, where we are buying externally. Remember, we augment with whatever we're producing, there's also buying externally, where we don't have facilities to produce ourselves. So we analyze on a daily basis, on an annual basis, and we look at where the spikes, deviation from the norm, and then we zoom into that to reduce those prices by obviously engaging with the respective management areas that are buying the items through in the main demand management. Where machinery costs, that's on the capital budget. There was a question on machinery costs which are declining. It's the budget for replacement and buying of new machinery and equipment. That budget has been reduced, and we were indicating the impact it will have on the production for the department. So it has an impact for the department, and it reduces because of the general tax that I've been across, where certain line items have to be reduced. On the triple C's, the public-private prison, we have presented on slide 64. There is a line written triple P index current fee and triple P index capital fee. That's the budget allocated for the private correctional center. It's two of them. We've got Kutama Sentomore. Both of them were for 25 years. Kutama Sentomore is in Limpopo, which is in Makado. Just outside Makado. It ends on the 15th of February 2027. Mangaung Correctional Center, which was a private, is ending on 30 June 2026, which is also a 25-year period. The index fee is the service that we render because we pay per bed space in those facilities.
over the years, the budget allocated for the two is 959 million for the operating costs, and the 89 million at the capital fee is the repayment of the building, because when we were repaying both the capital portion as well as the services, the 89 million is for this financial year, and it ends, or we finish repaying Kutama Sintumure at the end of February 2019, and up to from next year onwards it will be operating costs, and by 2026-27 both of them then return to the department for it to operate. Chairperson, the question on the electronic monitor, I would request, I don't have the detail in terms of how much has been paid from the section to date, but there's a litigation between the department and the service provider. We can reduce it in writing and give more detailed information about the litigation as well as how much has been paid in relation to that particular concern. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That's a point of debate. Next one.
I'll respond on all the issues related to human resources. Can I proceed?
No. I'm the only chairperson here. No. But you're not supposed to take over. No. Hold on.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. I'll respond to issues related to human resources. On the issue of the abolishing of posts and how we can do that in the face of the high unemployment, and whether we are retrenching anyone, yes, indeed, the department has, because of budget cuts overall, which the CFO and previous presenters referred to, the department has, on the system, a funded establishment of 41462, but the actual funded establishment for 2017-18 was 39101, and for 2018-19 is actually 39621 for 2018-19. So against the number of officials that are currently in place, which are 39296, the department then had to place a partial moratorium on the filling of positions. And nevertheless, there are positions that we are filling, that are at the correctional centers, which we have prioritized, as well as the rehabilitation posts, which we have given allocations to regions to fill. We will also proceed with the recruitment of the learnership, which is our feeder into the entry level of correctional officials. So that will proceed because we pay them a stipend, and that has been provided for in terms of the human resources budgeting and planning tool. So that learnership does impact on the unemployment because we do target both matriculants and unemployed graduates for those programs. In terms of the impact of the freezing of posts on function, the reality is that yes, we do end up, as the CFO indicated, on the impact of the abolishing of positions in administration. It does affect our functions, and people do have to double up, and that is the unfortunate consequence. It also has an impact on our ratios. Although we have a straight ratio of correctional officials of 1:5, those ratios are not a real reflection. reflection of what is going on at the census, because ratios are in terms of functions, and some ratios require that we have two officials for every, for example, high-risk offender. So overall, these budget cuts really have a negative impact. Just in terms of our ratios overall, when we developed the initial structure, we were supposed to have a total establishment of 62,000, although we are reviewing that. So we are not going to have the ideal situation in terms of staffing. In terms of how we monitor issues of corruption in the department, as part of the department's anti-corruption strategy, we focus on prevention, investigation, and sanctioning. We have two dedicated units established in terms of our Correctional Services Act, which is the Departmental Investigation Unit and the Code Enforcement Unit, and they are responsible for investigating and instituting disciplinary proceedings for these types of cases. There are also proactive initiatives that are in place. We conduct workshops on ethics, fraud prevention, and anti-corruption. And we also have been doing training on the code of conduct so that people are aware of what is expected of them in terms of the code of conduct and aligning their behavior to the ideal correctional official as discussed in the white paper on correction. In terms of dealing then with those who have transgressed, the Code Enforcement Unit finalized 106 cases and 102 officials were found guilty. And the sanctions, we had some dismissals and some suspensions and written warnings. So we do deal with corruption. Just on the issue of whether despite our initiatives to deal with the disciplinary cases, whether these are reducing, unfortunately, we continue to exercise consequence management, and these proactive measures are in place to assist us to really tell officials that what the type of behavior is that is expected of them. Unfortunately, some of the behavior does continue. What happens to the officials who have reached the ceiling in terms of promotion? We are concerned with the officials who are at production level. The OSD, or the Occupation-Specific Dispensation for Correctional Officials, does make provision for grade progression for officials on production level. And the OSD also makes provision for supervisory posts and advanced production posts, which we are looking into, but which is limited by our constrained budget that we create those additional positions. I think I've dealt with the issue of the disciplinary cases. The escape, is this a true reflection in terms of our slide? In terms of the disciplinary cases, yes, it is a true reflection. These are cases that are either in the disciplinary case process or have been finalized, and it does not include those cases that are still at the investigation stage. Then in terms of the vacancies, the centre-based, non-centre-based, that CB and NCB refers to centre-based and high non-centre-based. And how do we deal with that? For centre-based correctional officials, the biggest vacancy will be at entry level, which we have to deal with through the learnership, and as I've indicated, that is on the cards for this financial year. In terms of professionals, we have a number of initiatives that we have in place, which, yes, we do have a recruitment and retention strategy, which we are currently reviewing. That recruitment and retention strategy makes provision for allocation of bursaries for those scarce and critical skills. We also have a community service program together with the Department of Health for psychologists and pharmacists, and some of them will stay on following their community service. Our recruitment and retention strategy allows for headhunting, where we circumvent the normal selection process in order to target scarce and critical skills. However, we have to consider that in some of these professions, there is a shortage nationwide and for all departments. And I think what challenges us is our environment, which is not really conducive for some people to work in. But we are doing the best that we can, and that is it, I think, on HR issues.
Can you remind us that we have a good night?
Yes, PSO.
Thank you so much, Chair and members of the Parliament. Basically, the security issues have already been dealt with, and there are questions which are making a lot of sense, and I do believe, as the Honourable Member asked, whether when we say we even provide a percentage for escape, this is strategically placed, honestly to say, as we all know, we cannot allow the escape of offenders. That is in line with the mandate of the Department of Correctional Services, precisely your Section 32, subsection 2E, that says the department will be responsible as its mandate to rehabilitate offenders in a nutshell of offenders in safe and secure environment while observing their human dignity. And the reality that, as it has already been dealt with, Chair, suggests that while we know that escape should not happen, as indeed it is our priority mandate to ensure that while we rehabilitate in an environment where offenders do not escape. But reality in terms of the overcrowding that has already been dealt with by my other colleagues, which also includes, among others, the facilities, suggest that strategically you will then put a mark that says if this happens, at least such a percentage should not be exceeded. That is based on that reason, Chair, that we put that kind of a percentage. But it is really our idea and indeed our responsibility as well accountable not to have an escape at all. But strategically in terms of managing this one, we then put the margin, which is regrettably so that we have to put it, that is your 0.034%. I should also indicate, Chair, that we do have the procedures to cap the escapes. And these procedures, on now and then basis, we enhance them through the reviews that we do on annual basis. Based on the document that has been provided to the members of the Parliament, Chairperson, we check them. Of course, we have been challenged by offenders based on a number of issues that happens, and among others, as we all know, that as and when this sophisticated group of inmates are arrested by the police, through the changes of technology, they also become clever. It is of that reason, it is our responsibility, Chair, that we give our systems, we ensure that we review our policies and so on and so on. But in response exactly to say what it is that we do, or we are going to do new to ensure that this does not happen, as it was already alluded to that we had these escapes, we will emphasize, and that is what we are doing, emphasize on the compliance of policies and procedures, as we have already identified that some of our officials, as a matter of fact, they really become complacent and offenders escape. So our responsibility now is to ensure that that does not happen. And it is indeed taken as such, as all regional commissioners are here. And of course, beefing up of the night shift, and also beefing up the night shift visit by officials to say increasing the times of visiting during the night, you know, on an even kind of basis, to ensure that they, those that are working during the night, they know that they are being monitored. Because in the night, normality will tell you that you will obviously have lesser staff because people would have been locked up. But now the reality suggests that offenders have become so creative that they observe that. And as such, we are going to be increasing the number of night shift staff to ensure that we address exactly that. And reporting, of course, of the breakages of the infrastructure, because we all know that much of those incidents of escapes, as it has been provided to the members of the parliament, is that it happens from the centers. So they have observed the soft spot we have in our infrastructure. Correctly so, it has been indicated here that PWD to perhaps address or come and assist us in terms of that one. Because the facilities, as you all know, that most of them are very old, chair, as and when they're very old, and these offenders, of course, they observe all these things and they capitalize on those old infrastructure. And of course, the new infrastructure, we hardly have escapes. If it happens, it is due to some negligence of staff which might have been dealt with. The utilization of the first response team, that is what we are putting in place right now to ensure that this does not happen. Perhaps to quickly summarize, because I'm afraid maybe because of time I would have said a lot. Thank you so much. The utilization of our emergency security team on our special operations to ensure that we do the searches. And of course, dealing with those that would have ensured that compliance with the policies and procedures is not, you know, done, meaning that consequence management has already been dealt with so that this thing is kept. And finally, on that matter, sensitizing the staff and reminding them during our morning parades, ensuring that they are informed on now and then basis. Chairperson, there was also a matter regarding the smuggling of items as it increases. We are aware of that and we are indeed not happy for the fact that we do have such incidents. And for that, again, emphasizing the compliance of policies and procedures, you know, during our morning parades and afternoon parades of staff, and also the training of staff in ensuring that this does not happen. The daily searches, Chair, we have indicated before that it will be done and we will ensure that that happens. And I do believe that in terms of our policy, this is taken care of, but in any way we have to emphasize on those and deal with those that are, you know, out of those that are not complying with the policies and ensure that even the visitors as well as members are being searched accordingly. And we are going to be finalizing the installation of the body scanners to ensure that as and when people are searching, we are able to observe and identify these unauthorized articles into our system. Thanks, sir.
Next.
Thank you. I think mine are much more than when that is treated, I can say that
it can be, if you could speak aloud, please.
I was saying that night relates to Paulson, to say when that escape happened at night, we had only one official who was on duty in a unit of almost 240 offenders. So I think our major challenge is we are indicating is that during the night we have fewer staff, which impacts on our ability to monitor offenders. However, I should indicate that despite these challenges, last year we had almost 80 incidents or attempts of escape nationally, which we managed to stop and had those succeeded. In each incident, there was on average 3 offenders would have escaped, so we would have had a number much bigger than this. So it tells you that, in fact, that our officials are more vigilant, our officials are more protective, in the fact that we have more incidents where we stop attempts to escape than incidents of escape that were successful. But two, if you just compare over the last 20 years. 1995, we had almost 1,244 states in that financial year. 2005, I think we had more than 1,000 incidents of this kind. Today, we are talking around less than 100 on average for the last 4 or 5 years. We have not exceeded 100, which tells you that whatever we are doing, we are succeeding. We used to have within the correctional system a gang unit called the Air Force. The Air Force, they used to specialize in escaping in bravery. We virtually crushed that gang currently in the prison.
You sure, Commissioner?
Well, look, there are others that I know that we have not crushed, but the Air Force is no longer as powerful as it was, where at any given time you know that 50-80 offenders have escaped. Obviously, the incidents of Johannesburg and Baltimore is a worry that. In fact, we had to sit down with crime intelligence and others to analyze that and say, is it a reappearance of the Air Force or what? And for now, we are satisfied that it is not. But obviously, we are putting an eye on that issue. The other issue which I thought I was going to comment on is the type of an offender we have, because I think when you talk about incidents of escape or anything that happens to civil custody, you must also understand the type of an offender you have and where does it come from. You know, recently I was talking to journalists, and when they were asking me about this incident, the first thing I did was to play for them video footage. The first one was for a 9-year-old who had a grievance with a teacher in class, and he went out and came back with two pens. Now, other teachers were stoning this boy, and this boy said, I want my teacher, because he wants to beat the teacher with these two pens. One of the teachers was saying, if you beat this teacher with a brick, you go to prison. Now, already you can see how the corruption system is used. The teacher must discipline a learner, instead of a child, because you could see this as a child, who in terms of the law will not even be arrested. But the only response from the teacher now is, if you do this, we're sending you to prison. The second incident was two young girls who were beating a teacher in class. The teacher took the cell phone from the other, and these two young girls were beating this teacher. Now, to summarize, the type of an offender we have is more and more becoming violent. It's more and more becoming bolder. I'm sure you have seen some of the video footages of gang robberies where people know their cameras in that place, the cameras will capture them, nevertheless they go and commit a crime in that space, which shows you the boldness of those types of offenders. Which then says to me, I think part of what we need to do as correctional service is to work closely with cluster departments, which we are doing to mobilize communities and because we believe that ourselves, social development, the police and others, we need to put more effort in crime prevention efforts than in trying to manage what is already within the system. Because if we don't manage what is in the system, our numbers will increase. But my view is that if you deal with causes of crime, you will take over engagement. For instance, our community corrections unit, part of what it does, apart from monitoring offenders.
If you can summarize with the class, I think you're expanding too much.
Yeah, I was saying the community corrections, apart from monitoring offenders, they focus also on this community mobilization so that we try to assist communities to reduce levels of crime, because in our view, that would assist us to deal with some of the challenges that we have.
Thank you very much. Dr. Mukabe, do you want to come back with a short summary? Or is there somebody left?
Yes, Honorable Chair, only one.
Okay, let's have responses. Short responses, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be very short. Chair, I have assigned certain responsibilities, but also transferred responsibilities from some of the colleagues. Just on the escape, Chairperson, there was a question, are we counting the number of incidents or the individuals?
we can confirm that we don't count the number of incidents, but indeed the number of persons were escaping. So if we are saying 50 in the previous year, it's 50 warm bodies, it's not 50 incidents. So the incidence is far less. Chairperson, the next one, there was a question on feasibility study of 15 million. Just to say, Chair, in the APP, we indicated that we are, in the next 10 years, we are going to attempt to build 18,000 bed spaces, and this 15 million will be the first identified 8 centres, which will be in Gauteng, Eastern Cape, as well as KZN, to start with the feasibility study for those new facilities. And then the member left, but she asked about Polokwane. Polokwane is also on that initial list of the 18,000. Chairperson, there was a the matter of Department of Public Works. Chairperson, I think safe to say that currently we do have a service level agreement with the Department of Public Works. It's expiring next year, so we're already starting now with the renewal of that. Chairperson, I think what is important to split public works involvement in DC is in basically two bigger areas. The first one is capital works, and the other one is accommodation charges. In terms of capital works, Chairperson, correctional services did not have qualified engineers and. But there was a decision taken that we need to upgrade those areas. We have appointed a number of people that can assist with project management. In other words, to on behalf of DCS, to look into the projects which is managed by public works to make sure that our interests are being taken care of. Chair, the next part of public works is accommodation charges. That is the maintenance that they are doing in our facilities. Chairperson, that is where the bigger problem lies currently. Because the CFO, I think in his presentation, also mentioned that the way that government is structured in terms of public works doing the accommodation charges, we don't have any direct control on that money that is transferred to them. Even the payment thereof, CFO will explain to us in detail, but we just received an invoice with one amount and we have to pay. They don't need to specify for what exactly was that. Chairperson, we are meeting on a regular basis with public works and we highlight this matter.
That is a regular meeting. You said you came on something that we don't know what it is.
Chairperson, the Treasury prescribed that we as DCS and other departments, we call it a PACE document. That PACE document, the CFO can explain, it's not irregular. We are following that prescripts of National Treasury. But I'm not saying, Chairperson, we don't have a detailed breakdown of exactly what is included there. But the CFO is better placed to give the details. Chairperson, we are meeting regularly with Department of Public Works. I can even say that the new commissioner on the 1st of June, we had a meeting under his chairmanship with the Director General of Public Works to address some of the challenges that we are experiencing, and I assume that will be ongoing. Chairperson, you asked me to be short. I'm not going into other details. Just to say that the last matter of the understanding that JIC's staff are not allowed into our facilities. Chair, in terms of the Correctional Services Act, all staff of JICs allocated to specific correctional centres have access, and if they don't have access or they are restricted, we have heads of correctional centres, area commissioners, regional commissioners, as well as us in head office that we will need to intervene if there is any such cases, Chairperson. Chair, I will pause there for now. Thank you, Chair.
Madam Kaveda, you it is fine when you say you are covered, then it's allowed the DM to close.
Honorable Chairperson,
thank you very much. Commissioner, are you covered as well? Okay, into the record, please.
I'm covered, sir.
Thank you. DM?
Chairperson,
honorable members, please, no follow up because of the time pressure. We
If I have a minute.
Hold on. We started here at 10, it's now 5 to 1, and some of the members have got to go to other meetings at 1 o'clock. And the problem is we are going to be left with an empty house. But then can we agree, can I impress upon you from the chair, that those questions that you think are not answered can be converted to two questions with for a written response. Say again?
I'm asking if I may say something. That's all you. If you say no, I will say my please to chair, but if you allow me, I will say something.
In response to questions that were raised?
Especially in questions. Only questions.
Okay. Liz, we've got 2 minutes.
Yes, we thank the department to pass the questions posed to us on to Mr. Smallbagger. The good news is that it saved us the trouble of having to answer it ourselves. The less than good news is that it may say something about our independence. I was asked about a tax on JIC's staff. That has nothing to do with the department. One of our people was attacked when a bucket of feces was thrown over her in a correctional center, which was apparently aimed at one of the officials. She was severely traumatized. The same person has been forced off the road by a vehicle on the way to Kosimampuru, by a vehicle with Mr. Kretscher's name in the window. That is not to be blamed on the department. Yes, we were denied access, and if you want information detail, I can give it now. We were denied access after announcing a visit. We were denied access in Matateo in March or February this year.
Judge, can I request you to finish us with a report on cases where we were denied access, all of them?
Right.
So that
we don't blame Public Works, Chair. We just say we don't know where the problem is, but there is a serious problem. And lastly, I was asked about, I just want to clarify and correct, I was asked about inmates or staff complaining more than inmates. What we mean is with regard to the facilities. In many of the centers, or in quite a number that I visited, the staff on the ground are complaining bitterly about the state of their offices, for example, the rainwater streaming through ceilings, etc. And they seem to rely on us to try to bring those issues to the attention of wherever it should be brought to. That's what I mean with we are not only looking at the interest of inmates, Chair, we are looking at the interest of the department and the conditions generally in our facilities. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Judge DM.
Chair and honorable members, let me thank the officials of the department for the information shared. I think they have done well to justify the costs incurred to bring a big contingent of this size to the city today here. And I hope that everything which was said here is to the best of our ability and accurate reflection of what obtains on the ground. I did pick up in the process of the interaction a comment, though it was off the record, that one of the officers was saying is not true. Now, that is a punishable offense in the public administration. The Public Service Act does not permit officials of government to mislead when they provide information to Parliament. It does, of course, help if Parliament contests the information shared to formally then provide the facts from where they sit so that the matters can be interrogated. It is, of course, a concern if information shared would clearly be dismissed as not true and without any assistance of the facts that may be behind such a view. Having said that, Chair, the honorable member of the DA has left. Michalekas has left. Some of the questions raised by honorable members are indeed difficult questions. They're not easy questions. He raised the point about the discernible ability for us to plan on the basis of the real amount of resources at our disposal. planning is very critical to delivery in government. I want to say to the members of the select committee that we are committed to improving our planning, not just capability, but culture in the department. There's still much more that we can do, so that at any given time we know where we're going, and we're just not drifting, because the problems are really immense. And as a minister, we are not happy with the levels of planning that we are working with at the moment. But as I'm saying, we're committed to improving that situation. Of course, the other reality is that as this department, I made the point earlier on that can't complain about that, because somebody must do it. We are sitting at the low end of the value chain of our criminal justice system. You can plan, but you'll not always be in control of what happens. Everything is determined by what is happening upstream. So that, again, is another challenge. But then it means that we've got to have contingency measures that still, with the things going out of plans, we should be able to have a decent way of still delivering our mandate. There is a point, of course, he makes that we must really make our correctional centers places where citizens who are in conflict with the law, when they are sent there, we're sending them there as communities and as society, conscious that we're sending them to institutions with the capacity to change them. And when they come back, we expect them to be different citizens. Now, the Department of Correctional Services, as we all know, it was previously the Department of Prisons, which prioritized secure custody. It prioritized the security of those who were in conflict with the law more than anything else. But with a change in the vision of the department to be a department not just of that ensures safe custody, but a department that must also realize rehabilitation and corrections, there hasn't been a commensurate resourcing of the department for that purpose. The department literally has had to make do with the same budget projections that it was working with when its functions were limited to just secure the incarceration of those who are in conflict with the law. So that is something which honourable members, I think, in their engagement with the appropriate institutions need to make the necessary interventions. In Parliament, I think the matter must be raised to say South Africa's correctional services has to be funded as a correctional services establishment. There's a question about budget cuts, and I'm raising it because it does indeed create problems which may later on put us or make us liable as a department. Yet, what were the reasons for the budget cuts previously? Honorable Mukwele raised that question. It is general knowledge that the Department of South Africa's government since 1994, with the dawn of democracy, has aggressively sought to push as much of the resources of this country to the social sector needs. And among the sectors that, of course, took a knock are the security cluster. And in the way those who have been in these positions responded, your response was to understand that political prioritization. So, yes, it doesn't start now, the inadequate resourcing of the department, but that I understand to be the context. Of course, in this particular financial year, the plans that we were discussing, they are under-resourced, as we have said, because of the cut across the board in government departments in order to assist the funding again of another social need, you know, higher education. So that's where we are. Of course, we've got to make do with what we have. We can't complain. And in our plans, we would, even as the presenters of these plans, be more happier if we were to point in the plans things that we are going to do as a result of these cuts, but that are going to not compromise what we are expected to do, not compromise the targets that were initially, you know, projected. And in that respect, for instance, you see there are revised targets and that I picked up around HIV, you know, HIV and AIDS, you know, patients. You were that there is now 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, since the health system has come up with the policy that you treat and test, you test and you treat. No longer treating on the basis of the CD count in the blood, you know, the fasting of patients. And that was also introduced in correctional services. Now, with the cut in terms of targets of those who will be treating for HIV and AIDS-related infections, I don't know what that means. These are the things, of course, that are now posing serious, you know, challenges to our work as a result of the shortage of resources of our budget. Lastly, Chair, Honorable Mkule said, don't come back and complain about the Department of Public Works again. It's a fair, you know, impatience around the inability for us to deliver infrastructure and inability for us to conduct maintenance of the infrastructure we have at all times at the level that it should be. But you see, we are not the only department that has challenges around infrastructure. We cut across its schools, its clinics, at times we go to places where, as far as, you know, at the health department and the, you know, education department is concerned, where some reports would say infrastructure of this nature has been delivered where. And when you go there, only to find that there is no infrastructure. I'm just saying that the problem of infrastructure delivery, it's something that our government has to take a good view of and see how best can this be addressed and how best can it be delivered. We are among those departments who have said to Department of Public Works, devolve the responsibility of maintenance of infrastructure to us, because we do have the capacity to do that work. But of course, you know, that means that you know, there must be the necessary consent from the authorities, because JIAMA says this infrastructure is solely the responsibility of Public Works. We have tried to improve the MOUs between ourselves and the Department of Public Works, but the improvement has been very marginal. You know, last week we went to Tzaneen Prison Center, which it is there in the APP's project that is going to deliver new bed spaces, 435. And we spent the whole day, you know, quarreling among ourselves with the Department of Public Works as to exactly why is it that that facility is not delivered again within the timeline, which is the 25th of June this month. And there are extensions, and there are not just extensions, even the money to complete what is remaining, it is still not clear where it is going to come from. Those issues are very much part of the thing. We're doing everything possible within our field. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, dear. Members, you'll pardon me, we really have to close the meeting now. Thank you very much for your contribution. And members are free to interact with the commissioner. even outside this meeting, even in the form of written questions for written responses. Can I please adjourn this meeting now? Thank you very much.
Thank you.